Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tiff, are you okay?
What do you mean?
Well, you said, you know, the one time we were talking about Christmas music, and you were like, it just reminds you of like death or something.
Oh, gosh. No, this was really a beat.
Yeah.
I'm saying the other Christmas songs that are like very, what's like melancholy?
Downtrodden.
Not that they have, the lyrics aren't sad, it just makes you, you know, reminds you that you're getting older. That's what this time of year does. We're all going to die. No,
agree to disagree
just
on
kidding.
That one.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's... I don't know.
Year's passing.
I am usually
Ebenezer Blackman.
No, I love this time. No, I do love this. I'm jolly. I am jolly. I'm just saying it makes you very nostalgic this time of year. That's all I'm saying.
I'm usually much more into Christmas music and Christmas movies. This year, I don't think I've listened to Christmas music once, and maybe I've watched one run of
You're
like,
not
the
in
Grinch.
The spirit.
I know.
This Christmas has snuck up on me.
I know, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Because I've been pretty, I feel like it's no different, but I feel like I've been on the road since we came back from the bye, or just doing stuff. Like, I've only had, I think, maybe one Saturday off, not counting appearances or travel or whatever. So I'm not complaining. It's been fun, but it just feels like, boom, like, it's... As soon as I get off, I'm going to like completely transition right into Christmas mode at like 9 o'clock.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In all the Christmas movie conversations and debates, how come Gremlins never comes up?
I never saw it.
Did Gremlins come up?
It's a Christmas movie. He gets them as a Christmas present.
Remember. Yeah. Yep. I can't remember which Gremlins I saw, but which, what, when dude was hanging on the wing of the plane, which one is that? There's so many. Aren't there like four Gremlins?
Is that in a Toy Story where he's hanging on the plane? That's a toy plane,
no,
I think.
No, Gremlins, they were, I'm pretty sure one of those things was on the plane. But that scared me. That movie, when I was like, Gremlins scared me growing up. I was fearful of them.
What's the best Christmas movie, though?
You Die need Hard. To see Gremlins.
No.
Die Hard.
It's gotta be a Christmas story.
Like I'm not in disagreement that it's a holiday movie, but you can't say it's the best one.
Elf is always so funny to me.
Elf is classic.
I mean, it depends if you want it. There's a lot of classics. A Christmas Story has worn so thin on me.
Yeah.
Like I used to love it.
It's a tough watch.
I love Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon because I believe it might be the most accurate.
Yeah, that's a solid one.
Because it's what everyone wants to do on Christmas. Everyone, no matter their parents or not. They want to go get away, and then they get stuck, and they all have to be. They have to see, because both sides' parents are not together.
Yeah.
So they have to go to four, and when you go to more than one,
yeah.
I mean,
stressful.
We've gone to a couple. I think we've gone to three before in one day. When it's like grandparent stuff, dude. It is, because here's the problem: you never get there early enough. You never stay long enough.
Yep.
You always leave too early, and somebody has a time that doesn't work for. Like it's really hard to get Christmas lined up these days.
I was gonna tell you that when Pork Chop gets here, Baby Squid, that things will probably be different.
I was so confused.
But my man Day Day back here is proving me wrong, because like when we started having kids, we're like, we're not traveling anymore for Christmas. Like y'all can come to us. This man right here, him and his wife have lost his mind.
Yeah, so my wife found a deal, Frontier, $39 round trip, but it's like a hook. Like, you got to leave today and come back tomorrow.
What time tomorrow, though?
We have to fly out of Denver red eye.
Dude.
So we'll be back Thursday morning. So now, the only reason...
It's commendable.
It's the only reason I was like, okay, fine, was because of the fact that her grandparents' anniversary is Christmas Eve. They're up in their 80s. She hasn't been to their celebration that they do annually in over 10 years.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, but it's already causing a headache. Her and the kids were supposed... I dropped them off at the airport at 3:30. Their flight already delayed.
Are they on American because of the craziness?
No,
that's
they're
going on
Frontier.
Right now?
We're on Frontier, okay. But their flight already delayed. Their flight is delayed past my flight. Their flight is delayed till tonight, which is not a good sign for my flight because and Frontier only flies one straight direct two times a day. So if my flight gets canceled, basically this trip is canceled.
Oh boy,
y'all are wild, bro. Like
well,
y'all are
so y'all were gonna
extremely wild.
Spend your Christmas up there,
yeah,
right?
And then
make
come
it
right
back on Thursday
yeah.
morning.
I can go ahead and tell you, there's a household agreement. When Porkchop's here, I'm going to be like Michigan at Ohio State Stadium. We're planting the flag, baby. And it's going to be in my front yard. And there, and
you're bolting yourself
and,
to the ground.
And you know what? You can bring the pepper spray if you want, but I ain't budging. All right? We ain't moving from my house.
Yes, dude. Yes. I love it, man.
Because for me, it's no. I think you know you want to see family and everything. And I hope Amy's not listening. I'm gonna get in trouble. Hope nobody else is listening.
You're gonna get in trouble.
But my thing is like Christmas isn't about like when you have a child. It this is about the kids' experience, and they're gonna remember Christmas and how they remember it.
Well, not until they're like of remembering age.
Well, we're starting early, Tiffany. I don't know what
mine science. Are like right there. My son is right there. Like he, this is going to be the first time that he's really jacked up running down the stairs.
Yeah, that's cool.
Tomorrow morning. Yeah,
that's cool. But you know, the first couple are for you because you're excited to see.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. I have feelings about, you know, Day Day's kids are your youngest. It's like well, what seven?
No, three.
Three.
No, he's okay. He's got a his youngest is younger than mine.
Oh wow.
Right,
okay, well, it's a little bit different for you, I guess.
Let's go to the lines. We got Chief waiting on us. Good morning and Merry Christmas, Chief.
What's happening?
Wow, good morning. Merry Christmas.
Oh, you're surprised to get joy from me,
yeah,
to you?
Which I did give you a shout-out yesterday. I told the guy to say, hey, Tiffany asked the best question of the year when you asked Daddy about Drake. That was the best question, and he had the best answer of the year. So,
I appreciate
so I
you.
That. That's right. Christmas movies, though, guys, I still think the Grinch stole Christmas. Either the cartoon or either Jim Carrey. I still think that was the
Have you seen the most recent one, though, Chief? The one that's like computer animated?
Yeah, yes.
They're all three good.
Anything with a Grinch, I just love that the whole concept with a Grinch. I got to ask my tribal chief for a favor for Christmas because I called Santa and he just won't pick up his telephone. And I know the tribal chief knows everybody, so I know he knows Santa. So if you could just call Santa and tell him the only thing we want for Christmas in Atlanta is a playoff win. Thank you, Chief.
I will get on it.
Playoffs start this weekend, Chief.
Yeah, and you know, and Chief, I think Mike's right. I think that playoff win does start Sunday night.
Mm.
I think 8:20
starts now. The run to the Super Bowl starts,
dude,
now.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you something.
Tell me
if Michael Penix wants to live in the annals of Atlanta sports history.
Yes, on the Mount Rushmore.
You do something the next couple of games, and you get in middle
of
January.
Baby. Make it rain,
and then let them. I mean, I'm telling you, dude, because it would be epic on many, not just a local level, but a national level too.
Because
guy steps in. What if he's remember Ben Roethlisberger when he stepped in? And I think we were like 0-1, and he steps in for Tommy Maddox, who's hurt. And they go 15-1 that year. And I'll never forget because I think it was what was that center's name, Day-Day? Was it Dermonti Dawson? I think he played on offensive line. He goes, yeah, he ain't doing much. He's a rookie. We run the ball here.
No kidding.
They lost that year in the playoffs, but still. It's pretty cool.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
it
won
wasn't
this
much longer before they won the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, it was that was 03 or 04, I think.
They went back to Super Bowl in 10, I believe.
No, their Super Bowl run was 06. 6, I think, or 05, where they beat the Seahawks.
I'm not calling anybody out. This is just top of my mind. And it's no, I'm not. I'm not. Here I'm talking about the Buccaneers. No, I'm not. Buccaneers, Cowboys. That game, the play towards the end, I think it was when Rashad White ended up fumbling.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, like the effort that it was almost like it, mimicking like a sled run because he had someone hanging off of him and he's still like knee driving, like trying to get there and then pitches it out and then they fumble. It just kind of, it stuck with me.
So who were you worried that you were going to be calling out?
No, Rashad White. I was going to say a wake up call because I know
he was one hand in the ball though.
And then he pulled it in, and then that's when it.
Well, yeah. Maybe
you know. But I just thought, I know we're not. This is not in favor of Bucks or anything like that. But you have to admire the effort that Baker Mayfield has been playing.
But
with this
should
season.
Baker have ate that one?
He's trying to win.
But you're putting the ball at risk just by making the pitch.
I mean, but he made it. He completed it. So I feel like you can't. I mean, it got in the hands of.
But my answer to you would be don't put a lid on Baker in those situations because his play is the reason they're in that situation to begin with. That they've made this comeback and that they were leading the division.
He plays reckless at times.
Sure.
Just like he put the ball up where Jordan Lewis took it away. I mean, that was. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to put a guy up to bat.
Again, I don't think that one was his fault.
Well, first off, I think it should be, you know, I'll have to remind you, I am a Baker Mayfield. I like the way Baker Mayfield plays. I like his attitude. I like his bravado. I think I like the way he steps out there. But the reality is sometimes you have to take care of the football.
I disagree with that in that moment. You're wrong.
No, I'm going to the line. I'm with Tiff on this one.
Let's go to Anthony in Covington. Good morning and Merry Christmas, Anthony.
Merry Christmas and good morning, Papa Squid. How we doing, sir?
Good, sir.
Mr. All-American, how we doing, sir?
I'm living the dream, buddy. Living the dream.
Living the dream. And to our Olympian, Miss Tiff, how are we doing this morning, ma'am?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. So Merry Christmas to you all. And so I have kind of an observation from this past Sunday's game with Michael Penix, right? So just a little bit of background. Obviously, I was born in Georgia, but I was raised for a good portion of my life in a small town called Bowling Green, Kentucky. Go Hilltoppers.
So the closest pro team
we had when I was growing up was the Tennessee Titans, right? So I remember the first game I watched where I fell in love with football was that Super Bowl with the greatest show on turf versus the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And my heroes growing up were Steve Air McNair, Eddie George, and Frank Wycheck. And I could have thought for a second when I was watching the TV that Sunday, I was like, good Lord, that looks like my hero growing up, Air McNair. So I'm going to leave y'all with something for Squid and Tiff and Mike. What was the one game that y'all watched that made y'all absolutely fall in love with the sport? For me, it was that Super Bowl, falling short 1 yard. Kevin Dyson catches the slant over the middle, tackled by his thigh pad by linebacker Mike Jones.
Who? Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Don't need to follow up. I have a feeling like Bo probably has a moment with the Falcons. I think for me and Tiff, it's probably going to be more of like individual players where you started really loving individual players.
That's accurate.
Because, I mean, I didn't grow up a Falcons fan. I was a decent NFL fan. I grew up a Miami Dolphins fan, actually. I was a fan of Dan Marino. But I just have moments where I like fell in love with players. And you're just like, man, that is – It unfortunately, to bring up something you brought up a minute ago, one of the reasons I started really liking what Aaron Rodgers was that playoff game that he played against Atlanta when I was on the team. And I hated him that day, but I remember being like, my respect level for that guy is at a like I've never seen a more perfectly quarterbacked game than the one Aaron Rodgers played that day.
I would have had a game when you were still playing.
It would have been. That was 2010 or 2011, right?
That was the 2010 season, the 2011 calendar year playoffs.
Let's discuss that when we come back here, because I do have I have a player that made me really like the game. All right, when we come back, we will give you that. Also, Georgia. Carson Beck, what is the latest in his status for next week's college football playoff game? That and more ahead on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. This your jam, Mike?
I've never heard it before, but I'm pretty sure it's Blake Shelton.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani.
There you go.
Oh, they did a Christmas song. This come out like last year or something?
Don't give me the line on that part. Yeah, I just know the song.
It's got to be, yeah, because that would have been at the height of their relationship.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah. It's
DJ Day Day.
Yeah. Not a bad song. I'm into it. I'm here for it.
Are you here for Georgia's playoff game next week against Notre Dame?
Sure.
And Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah.
Probably being your starting quarterback.
Yeah, no, I think that
he will be.
And it's interesting. Yesterday, Tiff, we played in Life is Good. We played our buddy Amory Hunt, CBS's own, and he went on a rant about Notre Dame was going to wipe the floor with Georgia.
Oh wait, really?
Yeah. And he was confident. You know, saying it after Notre Dame's game this past weekend. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good one for sure.
Well,
yeah.
Look, I say Gunnar Stockton because Carson Beck. He underwent successful surgery on Monday on his right elbow to repair his UCL, and the school announced this. He will not be available for the Bulldogs' college football playoff game against Notre Dame. Now, he is expected to make a full recovery, according to the school's release, and he will resume throwing in the spring. But, of course, he had that surgery done by a renowned orthopedic surgeon out in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess he wanted to seek a second opinion, which I think is probably smart to do. There will be questions about what his immediate future does hold. We talked about it earlier. If I were him, I would look at all the options, including coming back to a different school. But it seems like Georgia is full speed ahead with Gunnar Stockton as well. They should be. When we had DJ Shockley on here and he talked about, the reaction inside that locker room at halftime when Gunnar Stockton was clearly being put up to bat and DJ was sitting right next to him, and he said there was a slew of people, coaches, players that stopped by and said, "Hey, we believe in you." I think that he brings a different dynamic. I think he's every bit as good as Carson Beck probably is, and some when you talk about the mobility. So I think it's all hands on deck for that team, and I don't think Georgia is going to look like the same offense they did a couple of weeks ago.
I think he's more mobile than Carson Beck. I don't think it's some ridiculous amount, but I think he is more mobile. I think he's definitely more comfortable running the football. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he... He's a guy that it's Carson will do it, but Carson probably is a little more hesitant than Stockton
for sure.
is.
For
well,
sure.
It's unfortunate for Notre Dame though, but this will probably be good for Gunnar Stockton. He will not have to deal with Notre Dame's defensive tackle Ryan Mills. He suffered a right knee injury. Riley Mills, excuse me, a right knee injury in that win against Indiana. So unfortunately, he will miss that college football playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, and it stinks. You hate that it happens. Happens seems like every time we get here. But, I mean, the big focus, and we talked about it a little bit earlier when it comes to the ratings. I don't know. I guess that was probably the second worst game of the weekend. I don't know. Maybe there was some bad football
Friday
this weekend.
Night.
Did you guys hear Troy Aikman and Joe Buck last night kind of backing college football playoff and backing these games last weekend? And he was like, dude, they were basically saying, hey, there's been Super Bowls that have been blowouts. It just is what it is when it comes to football. I know it's not a popular opinion, but I tend to agree with them. And I hear it from Bama fans all the time. Bama should have been in. Bama wouldn't have looked as bad as SMU or this, that, and the other. I still don't think they deserve to. I've seen blowouts. Tiff, you've seen blowouts in the national title game. It happens in football. It happens in college football all the time.
That's the problem is it's not – it's the amount of teams, okay? It's not who you pick. You can say, no, it is about who you pick. College football is not a sport built for parity, okay? College football is the haves or have-nots, and it is becoming worse. It's getting worse because there's only – Alabama is the blue blood of blue bloods when it comes to to college football, and their AD is literally begging like – wanting donations online, almost like he's some kind of OnlyFans person or something. Like, oh, you got to donate to come here. I mean, it's brutally bad.
It was so bad, dude.
And that's where the sport is because of the NIL and the transfer portal. But it's not built for parity. And I'm sorry, but SMU should not have been penalized for playing in their conference title game. Which college football, the sport, and a lot of teams are making money off of, But and Alabama gets to sit at home when getting their doors blown by an average Oklahoma team. And I know you're supporting that.
Yes.
That,
yes.
But I'm just saying.
I didn't feel like they should have been in.
But that's what – I don't care about the other stuff. It's when you have 12 teams – there, you have to earn someone on the field. It's just like why I thought Georgia didn't deserve being last year.
I think the problem is, and again, I don't have a problem with this, but I think people that are in uproar about the teams that were in it, it's just because all of those teams got handily beaten.
Okay.
So that's I am not in disagreement that they do deserve to be where they are, and the teams that were out of it, I think, deserve to be out of it based on what happened in those games leading up to this point. I'm just saying people are probably mad because there wasn't one competitive, like, team out of a team that you didn't think should be in. If you're going to talk about the SMUs, if you're going to talk about the Indianas. So that's why I think people are mad. Now, had you had, like, two of these teams, or how many games did we have over the weekend?
Four,
excuse me. Oh, yeah, there were three on Saturday, one on Friday. Then I think people wouldn't be obviously as mad or making the case that those teams didn't deserve to be in it.
You covered the playoff the year where we
TCU.
Where we probably had the best two semifinal games that we ever, as far as one weekend, had the best product. The thing,
but you're telling me, but people are telling me like TCU beat Michigan. Like I was on the sidelines for that game. You can't say that. They didn't deserve to make it to the national championship.
Agreed.
They got the brakes beat off of them in the national championship, but they still deserve to get there. So I don't get why people are like.
Well, because I think people were hoodwinked in this because I sat here and I'm not the only person, but a lot of people sat here, including me, and told you, do you really think you're going to get more good games if you add teams when you didn't have good games in a 4-team playoff? That's the nature of the sport of college football. The parity is not there like people act like it is.
People think that the parity has taken an uptick recently, and it hasn't. It's gotten worse.
It is getting worse.
Way worse.
And that's the point. It wasn't that you had the wrong 12 teams, Tiffany.
Yeah.
It was that you have the wrong system. Stop. Stop adding teams. And then people are like, well, see, that's why they got to go to 16. 16's only going to make it worse.
Could have easily. It could have easily stopped at 8.
You could have done 6.
Yeah.
And on the average year, you get like last season was an outlier. Okay. You rarely get where there's 5 teams that actually deserve or 6 teams really. That based on what they did all season, could be in and have a chance. Now, the 16 was FSU. They didn't have a chance. West Jordan Travis went down. They were done. I don't care how well you think they played against Louisville in an ACC title game. They didn't have a chance. And this last weekend showed that they wouldn't have had a chance. It just showed it. Yeah. But it's why I told Georgia fans, you didn't deserve to be in 2023. Yes, we did. We only lost Alabama. Yeah, but you lost to them, and they were the 4th team.
Well, the kicker in that whole thing was the fact that Bama lost to Texas. That was what really screwed Georgia up last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you couldn't make the argument that Bama should be in over Texas, and you couldn't make the argument that Georgia should be in over Alabama. And then it backed everything else up, and it put kind of everything in a pocket. So I'm with you. Look, there's been more blowouts in the college football playoff than there have been actual good games.
You want to know what the average margin of victory is when it was 4 teams?
I couldn't tell you.
15.6.
Yeah.
That's 2 touchdowns. Tell me that's a good product. And you just got it, and it showed this week. Yeah.
I can go back to a few years Bama played Michigan State. It was just an awful football game.
It was like 49-0, I think.
Yeah, it was just horrible.
Now
terrible football game.
You did have that Rose Bowl with Georgia Oklahoma. That was a good
game. Incredible game.
You had Tiff's game that she did with TCU Michigan. That was the same year that Ohio State and Georgia played right here in the Peach Bowl. I was like, whose phone's playing music? But, I mean, you had some. I thought the Michigan-Alabama game last year was really good.
It was a good game.
But the reality was that most of the games were not good, and you add more teams, you get worse games. And I'm not sure what we're going to get on January 1st.
Yeah, I don't either.
What do you think we're going to get on Sunday?
A win! Let's go!
All right, yeah. Falcons-Commander Sunday Night Football. Our final thoughts before you put a bow on the week for us, right? Because we are all doing other things. We have the holiday, and then I'll be shipping out for a hoops game over the weekend.
Yeah, I'll be out Sunday, obviously, at Sunday Night Football. I also got to ask you guys, who's your MVP? Because
In life? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that would, I mean, ooh, I'm my own MVP in life.
Okay.
But.
That's
all
sad.
Right.
Very sad.
That's in the life of Squid? Is that what
that's
this
right.
question is?
Next on the sad. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 Game, and a very festive.
That was sad. Yeah.
This Odyssey app. Hour brought to you by Mark's Fan Real Estate. Go to MarksFan.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll be right back. We're back here on the morning shift. I don't know why that song makes me laugh. Because I don't know. I
feel you do have a weird sense of humor.
I do. Sometimes I laugh by myself, like on my own. Just like if I'm.
Like nothing's even funny? Or like
well,
just
I mean,
by yourself?
Sometimes I'm
just
by myself and I'll just think of something.
Okay.
So.
Man, you're an interesting person. That is, you'll just think of something and start laughing by yourself.
Yeah, I might just be saying.
Man.
What?
Can honestly say that's not something that ever really happens to
me. I feel like it happens to a lot of people.
Maybe. I don't know. You ever do that, Bo?
No.
You weren't listening. It's okay.
It's all
no,
right.
I'm responding to your ridiculous lie that you told about me on Twitter.
Well, I said you don't do DIY projects.
No, I do DIY projects.
He's just not good at them.
I just don't build stuff. I fix something, like or I
that
replace something.
True,
yes, it is.
That is not true.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Don't make me get Amy on the phone line.
No, Amy will tell you straight up. I don't like to pay people to do stuff I know I can do. No, I'm not gonna like squirrel proof the house. Yeah, I'm gonna
What's
pay.
What's the last DIY project you or I'm sorry, repair job?
I repaired the shower door last week.
Is it so? It's fixed.
It's fixed. It works.
It glides.
I figured
or
out.
Is
I figured
it open? Is it hinge?
It's a glider.
Okay.
And because it's an older one, and that's something
barn
that
barn door style, huh?
Huh?
Barn door style.
It's not barn door style. It's I mean it's just
slides.
It's just an old. It's just one of those old sliding door.
Okay.
Where it has the rail. It has the railing on top, and yeah. And you it screws on, and you slide it. So what happened was before that Christmas party last week, it had been giving us trouble. And it popped off, and I was getting it back on, and then it popped back off, and then back on, and then I just kind of yanked it, and one of the rollers comes flying off. And hey, man, you want to sit here and take shots?
Oh, goodness.
All right, you want to go here?
Go ahead.
You're making your wife redo your dining room.
You're doing this on Christmas Eve?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've had enough of his shots.
She knows good and well. See, that's not a shot because she knows good and well. I have helped.
Well, the listening public don't know that, and they all know that's not.
I had to tear the drywall out of the dining room because she damaged it so bad.
On Christmas Eve, on Christmas Eve, he just.
Those are fighting words.
I'm sorry. What did he just do to me? Yeah. You don't think he just came at me?
I just asked you when your last
he
repair
just
job
said
was. That's
about
it.
I literally just repaired
things.
Something.
You
just
attacked
now.
His relationship.
Bubba.
You attacked his relationship with his wife.
Tell you what, you don't come at me. Come back cool. at you.
Let me know when the shower door falls back off. Let's just put it that way.
Oh my God. How about them Falcons?
Yeah, how about them Falcons?
Boy, Day-Day, you better come in here and stand
Sunday
between
night
us.
Day-Day ain't going to help you.
Michael Penix.
Day-Day's got
Jayden
a flight
Daniels.
To catch on Frontier.
Top you ever seen a Chihuahua go after a Bull Mastiff? You're about
draft,
to.
Both quarterbacks trying to win a game. trying to get us up.
No, I look, and you mentioned it, Tiff. We won't, we're – tomorrow being Christmas, obviously this will be our last chance to talk about it. I am so excited to see what our offensive game plan is and nervous about what their offensive game plan is. It's funny. And of course, I'm always going to kind of veer towards offensive game plans and X's and O's and things like that because I think that controls the tactics You should be controlling what the defense does, not the defense controlling what you do. And I think having Michael Penix in has allowed or will allow Zach Robinson to control the tempo and control different things about what Dan Quinn's defense is. Dan Quinn's defense is good. It's not like top 10 in the NFL good, but it's a good, solid unit. Their rankings in a lot of different categories are right around where the Falcons are, other than probably sacks. But they're going to dial it up. They're going to put some pressure on Michael Penix, and they're going to ask him. Zach Robinson's going to ask him to do some things that maybe we haven't seen him do last week. And I'm excited. I want to see what this next chapter holds and the changes that they can make. And I think, you know, Michael Penix and Zach Robinson, obviously the immediate and long-term future at this point. And let's see what we got.
Well, they're a defense that has been porous at the run. So I think that's where you got to start, right? You got to start with shutting down, you know, not shutting down, but not allowing them to penetrate, and you get off good on first down. So that first down carry. But to that point, they know you want to run too. So maybe don't be afraid to go play action on first down, throw the ball on first down. You can come back to it on second down and get back to close to on schedule if you need to. Because they're giving up 137 yards a game, and last week the defense you play were giving up 143. So you can run on them. So maybe use that to your advantage. That's
the way. That's the blueprint. But, that's the blueprint. But, run but, efficiently.
But we can talk all about what we want to do to them. Except for a couple of weeks, I was never really worried about the offense, except for maybe a 3-week stretch, right?
Yeah.
Defensively, how do we stop quarterbacks that have traditionally given us problems, which are quarterbacks that were kind of like Georgia. Quarterbacks that run give us problems. And I think a lot of that was an issue earlier in the season because of how you were playing in the secondary and not being disciplined with your pass rush. But that was something that Judon told us, hey, we've got to be disciplined in our pass rush. And because he's not a guy that wants to run, but he can and he will.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see, and we've seen it a ton recently. We've kind of gone to that kind of 3-3 nickel look with D. Alford kind of rolling down towards the box and sitting next to Cade Nellis at the linebacker level. And then at your edge spots, you've had, you know, Arnold Ebiketie and Matthew Judon or Lorenzo Carter and Damon Harris or whatever else it is in that kind of five-man front. I'll be curious to see if that's – because they're going to have athletes on the field. You can't go with, like, a heavy personnel, I don't feel like, against Jaden Daniels. If you do that, you won't be able to tackle him in the open field. You won't be able to get off blocks. I think that, you know, while I think Eddie Goldman's been good, I wonder if he doesn't take a little bit more of a backseat to a lighter personnel in this one so that you can tackle Jaden Daniels in the open field and stop their running game still.
All right, Day-Day, let's get to Life of Squid. A little W sauce, a little Bloody Mary mix. You know, we got my friends at New Realm Brewing, Owl and Lager.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, who is right. I'm going to have it now. Hey, what are you sipping on tonight?
I got some Angel's Envy at the house. It's probably going to get cracked open, me and the big unit, my dad. I'll probably get into that a little bit later.
Okay, yeah. So you're going straight to that. You're not going to start with a few beers?
Because
I know the big unit will throw back a few.
Yeah, he's definitely a beer type of guy, man. Probably he'll probably start with the old BL smoothies and move on from there.
My neighbor.
BL smoothies.
And the Bud Lights.
Yeah.
Oh.
My neighbor makes some of the Bailey's stuff. Like it's like a vodka and Bailey's and kind of thing.
Either of y'all eggnog people?
Not an eggnog guy.
No.
What it I am going to do.
Yeah.
Probably won't have it, but I did. I went like 2 months without a drink, but I needed one, the free one, on my flight back.
Oh, there you go.
What'd you go with?
Just red wine. That's usually what. Mm. But, you know, we may go on hiatus again for a little bit. So, but
what's for dinner?
It's a good question. Haven't figured that out yet. Probably something in the crock pot, if I had to guess.
Yeah, we're doing the Mississippi pot roast.
Yeah.
I don't even know. We'll go up to the folks and see all them tomorrow and stuff. Tonight, I don't know, I might just, you know, DoorDash something up.
Order pizza. Order
pizza.
Butter squash.
I could. I do have frozen butternut, or like squash in my freezer. So I might do some soup.
It's a chuck roast you throw in there, and there's some, it's like the dry ranch mix you throw in there.
I just saw this recipe, I think, on Facebook.
Hold on. I'm going to pull it up.
Okay,
dry ranch,
that,
pepperoncini peppers.
You wanted to know our MVPs. I want to make sure you get your time.
Yeah. We'll get to it. So I always forget. So it's the ranch strap.
Yep, the
packet,
Hidden Valley.
The au jus gravy.
McCormick.
You put the
just saw this
the pepperoncini peppers.
Pepperoncini. That's what I just said. Pepperoncini peppers.
And then you put some butter in there. And it. What?
I don't know.
What'd you call them? What did you call them? What do you call them, Day Day?
What did you call them? It what did said you say?
The pepperoncinis.
What did you call them?
Pepperoncini.
Pepperoncini.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I just
you butchered a couple things today. I just sound out all the words.
I'm open with the fact that I butchered.
You hear that,
things.
Mr. Yo? You think this man's going to do a DIY project? Can't even say pepperoncini.
You better watch your mouth. Yeah. You better stop. You better stop talking.
Go ahead.
Anyways, it's really good. It's really good.
I might do that.
And we're doing some mashes. I'm thinking I'm gonna bring out the Booker's tonight. I got a bottle of Booker's. That
sounds good,
dude. It's so
sounds
good.
Really good.
Drink on one big ice cube.
I got some makers at the house that might get opened up as well.
Who's y'all's MVPs? Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? Don't worry about steak. He's by himself. We'll go a little late.
You know what? So I have to pick one of those two.
Unless you've got a dark horse.
I'd love it to be Saquon. I'd love for it to be Saquon.
This is hard. I would say Josh Allen. It's pretty incredible season he's put together. And the Bills, you know, maybe they're Super Bowl bound for the first time. But Saquon has been revived in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So it'd be hard to argue. I guess you have to. Well, I guess it's the question, who means more to their team? And that's even hard to.
I think most we should shatter some barriers and just make the Philadelphia O-line the MVP.
All that's right. You're just being ridiculous now. Most people have Lamar Jackson in there,
ridiculous.
Too.
Mm. You know what? After Jonathan Taylor's, after every run, even Anthony Richardson, those guys were coming back and shaking the hand of every single one
that
of them.
Boy. That's what they should do.
Did Jonathan Taylor hold the football through the end zone?
And
this week?
You know what? We kind of alluded to that in postgame. So the team bounced back, is what he said. And I said, and you bounce back. In a big way, too. So get off that
good.
Man's back.
Well, I mean, you know, hold on to the football and cross the goal line. But a lot of people have it between Lamar and Josh. Here's the reason why I think this year that Josh Allen should probably get it. Lamar Jackson has been nothing short of phenomenal, and they haven't had a great defense this year. 37 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's completing, I think it might be a career high, almost 68%. He's been absolutely phenomenal. I feel personally he's got a little bit more, though, on his offense than Josh Allen.
A little more help.
Yeah, the Bills did trade for Amari Cooper. That's true. But the guy's been throwing to Mac Hollins for half the year, or all year over
Khalil
that.
Khalil Shakir's pretty good.
Yeah, he's okay.
You.
Keon Coleman's been okay. He's
not, Dalton Kincaid. Thank you.
But Derrick Henry took a lot of stress Touché. Off Lamar early in this season.
Yeah.
And that can't be. But Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Isaiah Likely. I just feel like there's a little bit more for Lamar to work with. Also, Josh Allen, this was supposed to be their down year. Like, remember, they got rid of a bunch of guys because of contract.
The receiving room is different.
I also want to point out, I'm pretty sure that Josh Allen is the least sacked quarterback.
Only 14 sacks. He's only been sacked 14 times. Yeah. Lamar, to that point, has been sacked 22 times.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to give credit to the protection, you know what I mean? So.
I mean, dude, is everything an ulterior motive with you? Just, yeah. I mean, can we talk about
can
the guys making the plays?
Can I talk about offensive line again, too? Just a sidebar, cool thing from the game on Sunday was Quentin Nelson, who is a beast.
He is a stud.
And he was arguing with Tony Sperano Jr. because he got hurt. They kind of injured his left ankle, and they're going back and forth. It was kind of fun to report on a little bit because Sperano's like, nah, man, you're done. You're not going back in this game because it was towards the end. He's like, no, I'm going back in. So he saw the whole exchange, and Quentin went back out.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was...
Is Ryan Kelly still up there?
He just got activated off of IR, so he was back for the game.
Hey, offensive linemen and defensive linemen,
Jeffrey Simmons is a beast.
They're through and through the toughest guys on a 53-man roster. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, that doesn't mean we need to give them awards.
You could have stopped there.
All right. When we come back here, we'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. Stay right here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.